could you say, Chuck, that the first article of the Creed is really just a kind of expansion, commentary on the first commandment?
You know, that's not a bad way of looking at it. You probably could, or you could even reverse it and say that the first article is the basis of the first commandment. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm fascinated by with what Luther does is that Luther approaches the doctrine of creation not so much out of a sense of curiosity where everything came from. The doctrine of creation is really lays an important theological foundation for everything that follows in the Christian faith, especially the entire creed. So, for example, to affirm that God created heaven and earth, it's a device known as merismus, whereby means of opposites you include everything in between. So to say that God created heaven and earth is a way of saying he's created everything. It's kind of like saying when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, he's kind of saying, there ain't no authority I don't have. It's all there. But what this does is it establishes a fundamental relationship between God and creation, or between God and the creature. That is to say, God alone is independent, autonomous, self-sufficient. As creatures, we are by definition contingent, dependent beings. What do we have that we have not received? We're dependent upon the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat. Take these away and we die. So the doctrine of creation really establishes a basic worldview for the Christian by which we can organize how we view the world. There is the creator and there is creation.
And that creator is a person.
That creator is a person. He's, you know, we could say that as creator, God is giver. As creatures, we are receivers. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation for the first commandment, which could be interpreted another way of saying, don't confuse them, as you pointed out earlier on. Don't confuse the creature with the creator. It thereby lays a foundation, though, whereby our basic relationship to God, even as creatures, is that of receivers, or you could use more of a salvation word like faith, that we do live as receivers. We do live from faith to faith in God.
Just like a little baby clings and trusts.
Exactly. And then you would understand sin to be as trying to become independent and self-sufficient, saying, God, no, I don't need to rely upon you.
And so this person, not a force, but this person is present and is giving every day of our lives.
Every day of our lives.
And not just at the beginning, but continues.
Exactly. And the thing that I think Luther picks up on in the Catechism that maybe the Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creed didn't pick up on is what we would in theology call God's ongoing creation. In other words, we tend to distinguish between the initial creation when God made everything out of nothing and then God's ongoing involvement in creation whereby he provides for it, protects it, nurtures it, all in spite of sin, but in a sense keeps it running. In doing, making this Luther's focus, I think Luther's captured an important biblical insight that while Genesis 1:1 deals with the initial creation, Genesis rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2 focus on how God has arranged creation for human beings. And similarly, throughout the scriptures, I think there's a strong emphasis on this ongoing creative activity of God. Job 38 to Job 40 stresses how the ravens and the lion cubs cry out to God for their food. Psalm 104 talks about how God has arranged everything marvelously so that by day human beings go out to work, we go in to sleep, then the animals come out to find their food. And even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount picks up on this notion when he says, look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. Doesn't God care for them? Won't he also care for you? And so Luther's explanation of the first article in the Catechism really centers on that aspect. He does pick up the idea of God creating everything out of nothing by the fact that he opens with, I believe that God has created me together with all creatures. And he does use the little word all 9 times in the first article of the Small Catechism to hammer away everything comes from God.
I'd never counted the alls in the Catechism. How does Luther structure the first article?
Well, I think he structures it in a way that would make many people uncomfortable today, because the way he structures it gives the appearance that I am at the center of the universe. See, I think in most cases today, people might talk about the doctrine of creation first by saying something like, in the beginning, God created 40 billion galaxies. And on the Great Wall of Galaxies, there's this medium-sized Milky Way galaxy, and about one-third of the way out, one of the inner subdivisions of this galaxy, he created this small rock on a medium, circling a medium-sized yellow star. Whereas Luther begins by saying, I believe that God has made me together with all creatures. Now, why is that? I think part of the reason is he is trying to cultivate the eyes of faith in an individual. So he begins where I most directly and personally encounter God's creative activity, my existence, my body and soul. So that as I realize I myself am God's creature. And in one of his catechetical sermons I read, he even states that there is no greater title, no higher honor than to be called a creature. It means I'm the handiwork of God. So I realize that I am a creature of God. He then leads me by the hand to embrace all of creation as God's gift. So after he has made me my body and soul, which he explains, soul is reason and all my senses, and my body is my eyes, ears, and all my members. He then leads me into the next circle of creation, which you could call the basic necessities of life. These basic necessities of life would include such things as food and drink, house and home, wife and child, field and cattle. These are means by which God provides me with what I need to sustain my life, emotional involvement with family, emotional stability in relationships, protection from the cold, nourishment for the body, and so forth. And then he leads me by the hand further to embrace rest of creation as God's gift. All that I need to support this body and life. And the large catechism he explains in terms of good government, good weather, and in terms of the basic elements of his day, fire, water, air. What was the fourth one?
Earth.
I think that's the fourth one. Yeah, you're right. So that all of these are embraced by me as God's good gift.
But it's not just a matter of my getting all the toys. I receive them in this context. Luther calls it together with all creatures, as you just said.
Right. And I like the way you put it. Many of our English translations simply say, God has made me and all creatures. I like together with all creatures because in our day when there are many concerns about the environment, Christians are very often criticized for the passage in Genesis about exercising dominion. Some interpret that to mean that, well, Christians support trashing the earth, or we can do whatever we want with the earth. I think Luther picks up a very important nuance from Genesis chapter 2. And the way I would put it is this. On the one hand, I am created together with all creatures. There's a commonality I share with every other creature on earth, and that's the fact that we are creatures, and that we were created by God. And even in Genesis, this is picked up in some very interesting ways, how Adam is made from the Adama, the ground or the dirt. Adam is made from the Adama. There is a commonality there. Similarly, when it comes to the fall into sin, Adam and Eve sin, but what gets cursed? The ground. There's a sense where the earth and human beings are in it together. In Genesis 6, when God sees that evil is great on the face of the earth, it's not just the evil of, well, it's the evil of human beings, but he wipes out everything, human and non-human creation. And I think as one works this theme all the way through the scriptures, you can see it also in the ministry of Jesus. He comes not only to deal with human beings, he calms the storm, as well as healing the sick and feeding the 5,000. But ultimately, if you push it to a passage like in Romans 8, all creation groans, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. So there's a sense where we're in it together. The human and non-human creation. And the non-human creation is entirely dependent upon the fate of human beings. Having said that, there is a distinction between me and all other creatures. That is to say, human beings were created in the image of God, and they were given dominion. So in this way, I think Luther's given us a resource for dealing with, say, environmental issues of our day, to those who say we can do whatever we want with the earth, we can exploit it, exhaust its resources. We say, no, we're in it together. On the other hand, to those who would say there's no difference between a human being and a rodent in terms of ethical value, we say, no, there is a distinction. But beyond that, I think in Luther's large catechism, he develops it yet a third way. That is to say, how does God work, or how is God active in my life today? That is to say, he is active through creatures. I think he used one time, what was it, the word larvae dei, meaning masks of God. That through other creatures, as through instruments, God gives me what I need. So through parents, he gives me life. Through food, he gives me nourishment. He gives, in the large catechism, he says, breast to the mother to provide milk for her child. He provides grain in the earth and so forth. So that when I deal with God, I'm always dealing with God, in a sense, through his creaturely instruments, or I receive God's gifts through his creaturely instruments. Now, this brings us back to the first commandment again. Because how is it that I break the first commandment? When I see the good things come to me through these masks or these instruments, in other words, money allows me to buy a house or allows me to buy food, there's always a temptation to identify the instrument as the source. Faith requires us to look behind the mask to see who is the true giver of those gifts.
And that giver of gifts is not only giving us things, but he's actually and actively intervening in our lives too, according to Luther.
Right. And so in the explanation, the first article, he presses on to say that God also protects and defends us against all evil. The thing that I find interesting about this particular way of expressing it is that despite the enormity of human sin, and despite the horrors humans have brought upon themselves and upon this world, the earth continues to yield its bounty. Life continues to be created. In some ways, I think of the first article of the Creed, as Luther explains it, as something like an EMT, an emergency medical technician, or a paramedic. When they arrive on the scene of an accident, their task is to stabilize the patient, in a sense to stop the bleeding, so that they can get the patient to the hospital and into the operating room where the cause of their bleeding is dealt with. In many ways, I think God's creative activity in creation, both in terms of provision and protection, is to keep the world running so that human beings can be wheeled into the operating room of the second and third article of the Creed, where their sin is dealt with in a decisive way.
But it doesn't always work. Some people get hungry. Some people, like you and I, fall into temptation and don't experience that defense and protection and provision of God.
That's right. Sin and Satan, for that matter, continue to be a wild card. It may be difficult for that reason, I suspect, for some people to say, well, how can I say that God has given me eyes and ears if I cannot see or if I cannot hear? Or how can I say he's given me all my members if I cannot walk? I think here we need to recognize that Luther is explaining the commandment from the perspective of a husband and father, in terms of the language he's using. And he's simply enumerating the blessings that he himself has seen that he has received. I do think that even something like all my members is almost like an et cetera. You can continue on with the list. So each person, when they look at their lives and look at what they have, the goal is for them to recognize these as good gifts from God. Even though I don't have everything, we have to remember, the first article is still an article of faith. I confess these as gifts of God, whether or not I experience them personally all the time. I confess that God provides these things in spite of evidence to the contrary, or even in spite of my experience to the contrary. But I think the important point to remember is that Luther's goal here is to have us look at all of life through the eyes of faith. And in many ways, I think children are probably better at this than adults are. Because when children see a bird out on the porch, a child might say, oh, didn't God create a pretty bird? I don't think adults are necessarily thinking that way. Here, I think, I recall one of Luther's catechetical sermons where he tried inculcating the eyes of faith with the following story. He said, you know, when you see the chickens out in the hen house, imagine the chicken saying to you, rejoice and be glad, I bring you eggs from God. And when you see the cows out in the field, imagine them saying, rejoice and be glad, I bring you milk and butter from God. And when you see the swine in the pen, imagine them saying, rejoice and be glad, I bring you brats from God. In other words, the goal of the first article is to enable us to pray that evening prayer that you had mentioned a while back. Into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things.
And as I do that, I can also share Luther's words about myself and my relationship with him. That all this that he gives me is not due to anything he sees in me. Instead, he says that we come as dependent, as creatures, mm-hmm. as people who are products of his hand. I think that comes from his medieval background, the way he learned about God, the way he learned from the tradition in which he studied theology that insisted that the Almighty God was responsible for everything and that there was nothing in the creature, as one of the teachers of his teachers would have said, there's nothing created that can put any demand or any hammer lock, we might say, on God. But we come as poor, unworthy creatures, and we receive all this goodness from his hand.
I like that very much. It highlights a certain continuity between the first and second article of the Creed, that just as I am redeemed by grace without any merit or worthiness in me, similarly I am created without any merit or worthiness.
I won't tell you how old I was when that first struck me, that this without any merit or worthiness in me was in the first article. Describes me as a creature.
Exactly.
Rather than after I was a sinner. It's true there too, of course.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then there's the magnificent so what at the end of Luther's explanation to the first article. So what? So that I may thank and praise, serve and obey him. In a sense, Luther comes in the first article already to what we normally call sanctification. He comes to describing our response to all this goodness.
That is true. I think in another place you could say that I may thank and praise, serve, and obey him. Here he's picking up the Ten Commandments again.
Ah, yeah.
In other words, if I were to rearrange Luther's catechism, which I wouldn't do, I would put the Ten Commandments here. Mm-hmm. Because in the large catechism, he uses the exact same words, thank and praise, serve, and obey, according to the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, thank and praise really pick up the first commandment or the first table and serve and obey using these gifts. In other words, the first article lays out the gifts that God has given us, and the commandments, in many respects, provide us with the directions or serve as an instruction guide on how to use these gifts properly, namely not to idolize, but to use for the good of my neighbor. Finally, I think the last thought that one might pick up on the first article is to note that Luther regards the realm of creation and the gifts of creation as good, and that God not only works through the elements of creation to provide for my physical life, but it's already anticipating the second and third article where God also works through the creaturely, the body of Christ in the case of redemption, or the water, the bread and the wine, for the sake of the living, forgiveness in the third article. So that there is a certain, I think it's called a MO or modus operandi, a certain operating, a standard operating procedure that God uses for working in this world, whether it's for creation or redemption or sanctification.
The interconnectedness of the action of God in our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But the sorry fact of the matter is, when we've said the first article, we don't thank and praise, serve and obey him by our sinful nature. And so we need the second article to bring us salvation and restoration of that humanity.
That's what we'll talk about next time.